This is Wilp's Wake Up Call. Good morning, Carrboro and Chapel Hill. We come to you every Friday morning from 7:30 to 8 o'clock, bringing you the hot issues of the day and the sort of alternative news, things and attitudes that are not in the main media. We bring you news from the community, from the state, and from the nation. This morning, we had planned to talk about Rogers Road, and our guest may be a little late, so he may come in at any time. But I'm with one of my Wilp sisters, Lucy Lewis.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Wilf, by the way, is W-I-L-P-F. It's hard to pronounce that P. And it stands for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And by the way, we're one of the oldest peace and justice groups in the country. Been going strong since 1915. And so we're small, but very involved in it. We're multi-issue. We're involved in many issues. And this is our radio program, which we are very happy to be here.
And next year, we're going to celebrate our 75th year here in the Chapel Hill community. So
that's
going to be something important to recognize.
That is. We'll have to have a special radio show all about Wilf and tell all about our history, our proud history. Anyhow, Lucy, I'm glad you're here this morning, and I thought that we could talk some about Rogers Road and sort of do a potpourri of some of the things that we're involved in and some of the things that we're caring about right now. Maybe we'll put Rogers Road a little later on the agenda in case our guest is able to come.
And that is Reverend Robert Campbell, who's been very active with the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association and the Coalition to End Environmental Racism, Rena Sear. They have been leading the struggle now for almost 35 years.
Yes. He lives in that neighborhood. And you know, I had not known that till I got to know him a little better. He's a veteran. You know, he's such a community person and such a warm approachable person. And if he can't make it today, we will have him on soon. But Lucy, when we were waiting here, we started talking about tomorrow, July 4th. And, you know, Carrboro has a big celebration. Wilf is going to have a table there, as well as some other peace and justice groups and community groups.
Right.
The Carrboro Library is faithfully there. Their table's right next to ours, and I like to go back and forth to both. And so we were talking about, you know, the meaning of July 4th and how sometimes we lose sight of it. And the fun and the parade and the fireworks. Mm-hmm. And want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, I just think that this is a good time to remind ourselves and our listeners that July 4th sometimes is looked at as a very support our country, right or wrong type holiday, red, white, and blue patriotism. And really it's to celebrate the founding of this country and independence from Britain, which was a monarchy at the time, and it was starting something new, an experiment in real democracy where people could have a voice and every person could be represented equally. And we know since its start that this country has had a flawed democracy, that talking about every person having the right to be involved in a representative government obviously didn't apply to people of color. It didn't apply to women. It didn't apply to people who didn't have land.
Property.
Property. Mm-hmm. But it's been an ideal that we've been struggling to realize ever since then.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really appropriate that in Carrboro that that's always a day where peace and justice organizations are encouraged to have tables.
Yes.
Because that's really what we're about. I know that we've had members who've been involved in the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, and that's a time to celebrate the Bill of Rights.
That's
which,
right.
Again, we're, you know, part of this country's independence and ideals that we try to live up to. And certainly during the last 8 years and of the Bush administration, we saw a real falling down on those rights.
A total
the passage
erosion.
Of the USA Patriot Act in the wake of 9/11 and a real erosion of...
Well, that's how the Bill of Rights Defense Committee got started.
That's right.
Was to defend the Bill of Rights from the Bush administration, who was taking them away piece by piece. And did you know, you probably know this, North Carolina would not sign on to the new country unless there was a Bill of Rights.
And, that's right.
And that's something that really tickled me when I heard about it and made me feel proud to be a North Carolinian, that early on they had this sense that, you know, you can have a government and it can kind of take over things, and if you don't have a Bill of Rights that's going to be there to say what the rights of the individual citizen are vis-a-vis the government, it's not a good deal. So this is something that we again need to be reminded about.
Yeah, our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. Again, we don't always live up to those, but at least yes. We can hold our elected officials accountable if they don't protect those important liberties. And it's a constant struggle.
Well, it's a particular struggle, I think, for each generation. But now that we're maybe losing our newspapers, and also that our media is so consolidated, I think, what is it, 4 corporations own most of the major media. And if GE owns, and I forget which stations they own, but some of the big ones, if they own it, they are not going to want things on there, which I understand. They're not going to want things on there that are going to be anti-corporation or questioning some of the things that are favoring corporations and the lobby money, et cetera.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons we like WCOM.
Yes.
And the People's Channel in Chapel Hill, that those yes. are both alternative media sources that are really important, because if you are going to have a democracy, people have to have the information that they need. And like you said, with increasing corporate control of the media, it really makes it hard for people to have the information they need. And it's
yeah.
coming... People often think that your television or your newspaper sources are objective journalism, and we all know that really there is nothing like that. It's
yeah.
a question of trying to get at the truth, and if you're a corporate-controlled media, you have a particular version of the truth, and increasingly too much of the media is controlled. So again, July 4th is a good time to celebrate our independent media and to support that with our listening and with our dollars.
Well, that's what, you know, I love our time slot here, because we segue into Amy Goodman, and I hope people stay tuned, because she has been
right.
An important source of information to me, you know, with this recent Honduran coup. She had information that you don't hear anyplace else about what's happening. So this station is a treasure. And also, the newspaper, the Carborough Citizen, I think it's been out a couple of years now. And that is independently owned and a very thoughtful, well-written articles. For example, for Rogers Road, they had a series of 5 in-depth articles earlier on about the whole history and the whole issue. Excellent coverage. So, and the little Chapel Hill paper is still struggling along, and I still get local news there. That's pretty good. I was just thinking about media and how to get news. I know personally I get some magazines to cover national news. I get the Nation magazine every week. I get the Progressive. I get Mother Jones, and I feel that way. And I get this Yes magazine, which tells all the things that are happening, but the things people are doing about it. And that brings me to the point I'd like to make about July 4th, that we have to participate. You know, we don't just have to hold that vision of what we're struggling for. But if we don't get out there and participate, which the early people did to win this revolution, and again, Britain was an empire, and we were a colony. And this should give us great sympathy for other people who have been colonized by us and by Britain. The effects of Britain's brutal occupation in so many places, we're still having the repercussions from that, the messes that they made in with Israel and Palestine, the after effects of colonialism we're still struggling with today, and we've got to be aware of our own empire and where we're occupying and what we can do differently. And we've got to participate. Just thinking of, wanted to segue into another issue, which is very important right now, which is healthcare. And I think Obama's beginning to realize that he was trying to have everybody come up with things and everybody at the table. And I think he had hopes that by doing this, that they would come up with a fair bill. And I think he's realizing that he made a strategic mistake. He should have come out more strongly for single payer. And then if he had to compromise, then the compromise would be for the public option. If you start off with the public option, right now they're trying to get rid of it. They're seeing the compromise as something that doesn't even include that. And I think he's now reaching out and wanting the grassroots to get together and hold him accountable. And I think that's what our task is.
Yeah, well, again, speaking of our July 4th theme today, mm-hmm. this is a time for people to really speak up. And there's so many ways that people can do that, whether it's writing a letter to an elected official, whether it's making a phone call. We know that some members of our local community recently went to Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And met with Senator Kay Hagan, I believe,
I'm
and
glad
perhaps
you brought
some
her
others.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't make it to Washington, D.C., there are other ways to again, remind our elected officials that we voted for change in the last election and that we've got millions of Americans who have no health insurance at all. I know that Wilps went and saw Sicko last summer, Michael Moore's movie,
yes.
talking about health care and the fact that for many people, even if they have insurance, that it's not adequate. That
they don't realize it until they need it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, that so many people are considered that they've got pre-existing health conditions or that they've maxed out or they've got a plan that only applies to certain kinds of health issues. So we're seeing a nation that's one of the wealthiest, if not the wealthiest in the world, which is not taking care of the basic needs of its citizens and its residents, and that health care is really one of those issues that's so important for people to demand that this should be a basic right for everyone, mm-hmm. That
yeah.
we have a health care system that spends millions and billions more than other countries, which means that some of the wealthiest elites can get certain kinds of health care, but in terms of basic health care, we have so many citizens that just aren't covered at all, and there's no reason that we can't make sure that everybody has access to affordable health care, and that this is a really important struggle for everybody to be involved in.
And I think that with the insurance companies, I think that the profit motive and the administrative costs, you go to your doctor now, and they have a room full of all these folders, and they have to have even a small little practice, like two or three people to handle all the different insurance companies and the different claims. They have a multitude of plans, which is so confusing. You know, it just is siphoning off administrative dollars that we could spend on actual health care. And the head here of Blue Cross Blue Shield, I was shocked. His salary is something like $1.5 million or over $1.5 million, maybe $1.1 million. Now, this is a nonprofit. How is that nonprofit to pay? And I'm sure if he makes that salary, others are making comparable salaries. Think of the people that could be covered with $1 million,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then I heard on the radio, thank goodness for the radio, I heard that on Air America, that the head of United Healthcare, he makes $1.5 billion. And this is one of the biggest corporations in the country. And so I think that we've got to get a grassroots effort. We've got to hold up to Obama's back, cover his back, and also while we're at his back, push him into stronger leadership for what's really needed.
Well, one of the things that I think that happens, we were just talking about corporate control of the media, is this whole illusion that America has a wonderful healthcare system, mm-hmm. and why would we want to give it up for government-controlled healthcare? And in fact, the World Health Organization ranks the United States 37th in quality of care.
Yes.
And we just, because again, of our corporate-controlled media, keeps saying we have this wonderful healthcare system. And it's true that the United States has developed some amazing technology, but only the very wealthiest people in our country are able to access it. Mm-hmm. That's 37th in quality of care affects things like infant mortality rates. It affects the healthcare the disproportionate life expectancy for people of color and whites in our country. And of course, that's all tied into issues of economics, you know, what people are able to afford.
Yeah.
And really, we should not be paying for the very elite technical health needs if we can't ensure our basic needs. And for those of us, again, who saw Sicko, looking at what's going on, not just in England, but in Canada and France, you know, where the government takes as a responsibility for people's health and comes up with ways to take care of it. That just like Social Security is mm-hmm. a government program for people mm-hmm. in their old age.
And it's not just the old age. I don't think people realize that. You try and get a disability insurance. Social Security is not just taking care of you when you're older. It's also disability insurance. And that I think people lose sight of, because that's a very expensive insurance to buy on the market. And it is a wonderful protection if, God forbid, you know, you get disabled with health problems, which could happen to any of us. What, you know, we don't know. I just want to take a break here and and let you all know that this is Wilp's Wake Up Call. Wilp being the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And we are underwritten by Internationalist Bookstore. And that is right up on West Franklin Street, right near a fast food place. I won't give their name. But across from the bookstore. So it's very convenient to get to, and they have a wonderful selection of books, particularly political books that are hard to get elsewhere. And if there's any book that you want, they are glad to order it for you. And if you want to check out more about us, about WILF, it's trianglewilf.org, trianglewilf.org. And again, WILPF is WILPF. And you can also get linked to tapes or discs of our previous programs, which are still very pertinent to what's happening today. And by going to trianglewilf.org, and also you can stream us on WCOMFM.org. So enough of those numbers. Back to Lucy Lewis, our guest today. I'm Lori Hoyt, and we are talking about the overarching theme is July 4th and our nation's bitter struggle for independence. It was painful, you know, when you think of those people with barely clad, those soldiers going across that icy river. What river was that? The Hudson? I don't know. I can't remember what river with George Washington. And I just remember reading so many stories of how the Delaware. Thank you. Thank you. Our Tana Hartman is here as a technical engineer assisting Dick Paddock. And we are all WILF sisters and brothers. And it was the Delaware. I knew the Hudson wasn't quite right. But they suffered so much in the winter. They were so poor and struggling, they couldn't even clad the soldiers properly. And some of them were almost barefoot in the snow. So this independence, this freedom was won for us and is always won for us at great cost. And we have got to do our part.
Yeah, I just think that contrast between the struggle of the early citizens of this country, and sometimes having lost that revolutionary zeal, that mm-hmm. revolutionary commitment to the ideals of this country
yes.
makes me think about the discussion we were just having about health care.
Yes.
That we would like to see people out on the streets. You know, I think that would be important. But if that's not where people are comfortable, you know, those letter campaigns, those emails, those phone calls, those petitions, just, again, urging our elected officials to honor, you know, their commitment to the health, education, and welfare of every person in this country is just so basic. And it's really a time to remind people that we all have a voice and we need to be heard on these issues.
Well, and I think we got to mention those elected officials. I think David Price is on board, but it's always good to get in touch with him and to let him know that you very much want single payer. And if that has to be compromised, that a strong public option and not this watered down and we maybe have to have on here, we'll talk another time, what a strong public option mm-hmm. would be. We're all very much for single payer and still think, and the president himself has said that would be the best program.
It's the most efficient,
use of our money.
35-40% right off the top of administrative costs, which are now going to the well-paid executives that you just mentioned.
Yes, and by the way, I've heard somebody say how we shouldn't even talk about insurance for health care. You know, you get insurance for your car. The insurance isn't to pay for maintenance of the car and oil changes and things like that. It's to pay if you are an unfortunate person who has an accident with your car. Now, with your health care, it is a different thing. The maintenance is the most important part. And being able to go to the doctor for these smaller things being checked so that you don't let yourself get into diabetes and other things that are very costly. So that insurance is the wrong word. We need health care. We all are going to need health care. It's not like having an accident.
Right. One of the issues that, again, that CICO talked about was the problem of unemployed workers losing
yeah.
their insurance.
And that's
I think
huge.
With the recent numbers that we've just seen on unemployment, which is affecting, you know, millions of people in our country and thousands of residents in our community, the threat of unemployment or the actuality of unemployment really threatens people's health care.
Lucy, and in this state, it's over 11% now. And Kay Hagan, we have got to put pressure on her. Kay Hagan, it was a very good editorial in last week or the week before. It's Carborough Citizen. People who came back from Washington that are friends of ours have talked about it. She did show up at a meeting with North Carolina people, was very sort of wouldn't talk really about what she was for, was very kind of dismissive of their participation, they were very dissatisfied with the visit with her. And we have got to put pressure on her. Let's face it, she got in on Obama's coattails. You know, the people who'd worked so hard for change in this state, and she was able, she probably, I'm pretty sure, would not have gotten elected if it was not for all the hard work for people wanting change. The people in this state want change. And she is somehow ignoring that. I've heard that she was really good, and I was very impressed with Employee Free Choice Act. And I hope I understand she's under a lot of pressure, and I hope she stands by that. But I wonder what kind of pressure she's getting from Blue Cross Blue Shield and from other players, as they say, in this state, because she is waffling and not even, she's one of 10 Democratic senators in this country who are not standing by the president, President Obama, not standing by him and his desire for a strong public option.
So again, this is a time for people to speak out, and if you want to
yes.
use this weekend to remind yourself about the importance of all these issues we're talking about and to get involved, this is really a call to action. I know we only have a few minutes left on the air, and you just mentioned the Employee Free Choice Act, and
yes.
I think as we're talking about basic struggles and issues affecting people in our country today. We might remind our listeners, we've certainly talked about labor issues here on WCOM before, that the Employee Free Choice Act would basically give the right back to workers to be able to more readily vote for a union if that's what the majority of their members want. That with the last couple of administrations, we've seen a real weakening of the National Labor Relations Board, which was set up to ensure fair elections, and the Employee Free Choice Act would give some of those rights back to workers so that they could unionize. And of course, again, as we've mentioned here on the air, one of the issues that we've seen here in North Carolina is that many of our public workers don't even have the right to have an election. They have a right to have an election, but they don't have a right to have a contract for their labor.
Collective
bargaining. That's a big issue here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, where we have so many of our residents who work at the university or other state-related agencies.
And are now living in fear with the cutbacks. How much are they going to be cut back? What are they going to be having a furlough? What, cut and pay? What is happening? And people have their bills to pay. It's a very hard thing. But the Employee Free Choice Act, you don't hear much about it recently, but it's a hot issue. And I think you can tell how much it will help labor by the vicious campaign that the Chamber of Commerce and corporations are waging against it.
I saw the figure of $100 million
yes.
is what the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is going to be using in terms of a campaign. Again, misusing media to try to confuse people about some of the basic issues here.
Yes.
And the fact that, again, we have a strong history, not just with our July 4th remembrances, but of our labor movement, which struggled for people's basic rights to a decent wage.
I don't think people realize that our 8-hour day and our weekend are from the bloody, at times, struggle for unions. That this is something that's relatively new when you look at history, and we owe it to people who struggled for unions and for workers. And the other thing, I think you and I were both at Jerry Marcatus's Balance and Accuracy in Journalism program recently, where we found out that, which doesn't surprise us, that since 1970, workers' wages have been flat in terms of their purchasing power. But at the same time, their productivity was rising the whole time. So that means a big space there where there were a lot of profits generated by people's labor for which they were not adequately compensated. That is why all this money was sloshing around for so much corruption in the financial industry and other places. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of the major media is putting those things together. But we don't have a lot of time. So this is back. It all fits in, Lucy, with July 4th, with the struggle, workers' struggles, the struggle for all of us for decent health care, that all of our sisters and brothers in this nation are included.
Yeah, I think we should really use this time to challenge ourselves and all our listeners to be involved and to speak out. We've mentioned just some of the issues today, like you said, the question of public options or single payer for health care, the need for Employee Free Choice Act for the workers' movement, the need to repeal 95-98 in North Carolina, which prevents public workers from unionizing, the need to take back control of our media, to support our independent institutions. This is really what July 4th and democracy is all about. So we encourage everybody to use this time to recommit yourselves, to speak up, to use your voice, to use your feet, and to use your dollars to support.
And to write letters, to make those phone calls. Make those phone calls. And for those of you who email, send those emails, but I understand letters and phone calls will even be more effective. So do all of it. It's all important that those messages flood Kay Hagan's desk. We give some credit to David Price. I think he's still on board. And we can get after the president. We need him to show that leadership. We want to thank you for listening. This is Wilp's Wake Up Call. We're on WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. And goodbye.